Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Trick Podcast. So, Joey and Gosa TV, the Saturday midday. It's almost noon here in the LA area, Pacific time, 12 noon Pacific time. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this video. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you're watching me on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you're watching me, Twitch, I love my Twitch people, my Gosa family. I also love YouTube. It's probably where I spend most of my time these days. But wherever you're watching me, make sure you leave me a comment and let me know that you're here. Say, hey, how's it going? Good morning to you. I hope that you're doing well. Just got back from cleaning my church. I love vacuuming and wiping things down. And I went with our two daughters and we had a great time. It's about a group of maybe 10, 12 of us that are all volunteers cleaning up our church once a month. So shout out to all the people that are out there working hard on a Saturday morning and giving up their coffee time or sleeping in or all the rest, or maybe working, you know, hard like most people and coming out and volunteering at the church and helping out. So good job, everybody. But I was thinking about this idea of how to be more positive. I'm not sure if you struggle with being positive. I think most of us want to be positive, but there's a ton of people that can be super negative that will comment and criticize on what you're trying to accomplish. It might even be your own family or someone that you love. It could be even your husband or your kids or your parents, perhaps. But being positive, I feel like it's one of those things that I know for me isn't easy. I can tend to get down on things. I can tend to be critical. And I think a lot of it comes from criticizing myself. And so I was thinking about this, and I wanted to give you a few tips. Hello, welcome, Elise. Yes, Elsie. Yeah, hello. Great. Good morning to you. Talking about how to be more positive. You know, how do we overcome the negativity that's all around us and people that say negative things to us, or maybe someone that you work with that tends to criticize you a lot, maybe a parent or a loved one. Number one thing that I think we have to do to be more positive is to believe in Jesus Christ and to know that He is with us. Good morning. And to know that He's the one that makes you positive. You know, I love positive mindset speeches and YouTube videos, and I watch many of them. But at the end of the day, for me, and I think that for you as well, what makes me feel positive is when I'm connected to the presence of God. You know, when I look at my life or I look at my past or my skills or what people say about me or how many people this and how many people watch me and all that stuff that doesn't really even matter to me, it can be easy to get down on yourself. To compare yourself with who's cuter, who's thinner, who's taller, who's got more money, more, you know, a better job, or that man that you want. True happiness, true positivity, if we want to call it, that comes when you connect to the presence of God. When you are someone who is enamored with the presence of God, who gets his or her wellness from God, from His view of who we are. You know, like there's a big movement among, especially people under 30, about wellness. And I think it's great, you know, veganism and eating healthy and working out and having the latest cool shoes and workout gear and all the rest. And, you know, Instagram models and you're following all these cooking shows. Okay, that's all good stuff. But you know what? Why is it then, if we're working out so much, that we still feel so bad about our bodies? That we still feel like, you know, like terrible people, even though we are watching all these Instagram influencers that are telling us that we should go on hikes and blah, blah, blah. You know why that is? Is because our image does not come from people. You are made in the image of God, not in the image of your most popular Instagram influencer. You're made in the image of the living God. And He has no standard for you of beauty. He has a standard of holiness. He has a standard for you of being someone who loves Him. That's His standard. He doesn't have a standard of how big is your waist or how tall is your hair or how much gold you have in your grill. You know, that's what the world teaches us, that we need to look a certain way and have a certain amount of money and have a certain kind of influence. And my boyfriend needs to be this way. And oh, by 25, I should already be a billionaire and all this stuff. That's what the world teaches you, but you need to find your positivity in your image with God, in your identity with Christ. And now, what does that mean? That means that you are dwelling upon Him. That means that you are putting your eyeballs on Him. Imagine if Jesus had a Twitter page. I wonder if people would even follow him more, or they would still follow Kim Kardashian or whatever, whoever your favorite, you know, hip hop artist is, Travis Scott or Drake or whoever it may be. I'm not against any of that. I love these guys. My point is, where are your eyes? Where is your attention? What does the Bible say? That as your eyes go, that's where your treasure will be. Isn't that interesting? In this day and age of Instagram pictures and having the perfect selfie and having the perfect profile and the perfect page, and maybe you're not into that, but those are the people that you follow, right? Those who have the perfect online persona. In that day and age, isn't it interesting that Jesus says, like that old hymn, put your eyes upon Jesus. Imagine if you were to delete your Instagram page or your Facebook page or your Twitter followers or whatever it is, and you were to only read the Bible app on your phone, it would revolutionize our lives. It would revolutionize our societies. It would revolutionize your life. I'm not against social media. I'm here producing these contents so that people can wake up to the fact that our eyes need to be on Jesus. And I don't mean like mentally. I don't mean like church. I love church. I wish we had church every day. I mean deleting the things that you're currently looking at. I mean actually removing your eyes from this and moving them towards Jesus. You know, that's why I love John the Baptist. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He didn't just say, hey, behold the Lamb of God. That was his second statement. His first statement, what was it? Repent. In other words, take your eyes off of the Instagram model or the Facebook person that you love or those videos that you just can't get enough of on. You know, is that man's blah, blah too big or too small, or are my boobs too small, or all the trans and LGBTQ stuff or whatever people are into, or all the stuff that is everywhere these days. The Bible literally says, repent. Repent means a 180. Someone who's got your six, as they say, meaning someone who's got your back. It means you turn away from the things that you're naturally drawn to, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of what we desire. And you turn away from those things and you set your eyes on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not too late. It doesn't matter how young, how old, how Christian, how not, how horrible you feel. That's what repentance does. It gives you freedom. The point of repentance is freedom. The point of repentance is not condemnation. It's not hell or judgment. The point of repentance and the fruit of repentance is righteousness, is intimacy with God, is having a positive view of yourself that does not end, that lasts a lifetime, that is not temporary. What does the Bible say? Philippians 4, that he gives us peace not like the world gives. And you know, it's funny that that verse is there, because I find that social media gives us zero peace, right? I mean, the promise of being an Instagram model is not peace, is what? Attraction. It's money. It's fame. It's having, you know, your favorite porn star being interviewed at a podcast, and you're like, wow, I wonder how much money she makes. That's called the lust of the eyes. That's not peace. And yet, that's what the world gives you. That's what the world sells you through ads and through our own choices of what we, you know, the reason why you get those recommended videos on your timeline is because that's what you've been watching, right? YouTube is very smart. They're going to show you the same thing over and over again, because if you're into, you know, boob size and penis size or let's say if even just good stuff, like, I don't know, vegan or healthy eating and smoothies or fashion or shoes or all the stuff that people are into, guess what YouTube's going to do? It's going to give you the same ads over and over again. Instagram. I mean, I'm convinced that these microphones that we all have around us, meaning our phones, you know how they have microphones, right? I mean, have you ever like talked to a friend about, hey, I need a haircut? And then suddenly you see all these ads about, hey, come to this salon, come to this. Hey, here's a coupon for this, 25% off, a Groupon for this and a Groupon for that. It's because everyone is listening. Satan is the prince of the air. That means that he's literally listening to what your words are saying. Now, he can't command your heart, He cannot command your mind. That's where the that's why the Bible says in Corinthians 2 that we have the mind of Christ. So where you have the power, my young friend, my man of God, my woman of God, is in the mind. It's in what your eyes see. But the minute that you speak something into the air, that you say, I want that, guess who rules your words? Satan. He's the one that is controlling your steps. Because the minute that you say, I want that, and you go to Amazon and you buy that thing you don't need, and you spend that money that you don't have, and there, and so then what happens? Our debt goes through the roof, then we have to work more, and so we can't go to church, or we can't volunteer, we can't go on that missions trip. We no longer have that heart for Jesus that we once had, because you're trying to maintain this life that's the lust of the eyes. And guess what? It says that the narrow path leads to eternity, but the wide path leads to what? To debt, to horrible body image, to shame, to pain, to depression, to anxiety, to suicide, and to death. That's what the Bible says clearly. It's just that we have to interpret it, right? And that's what I try to do here, is to kind of interpret it to modern day language so that you and I can understand this lie that we're living, this lie that we've been sold. And then because we are people that long for relationship and long for intimacy, we suddenly begin to compare. Well, you know, God is good, but man, this is better. Well, you know, those friends that I used to hang out with that we would have a Bible study with and pray in the mornings every Saturday, you know, that's good, but man, this Instagram influencer is better. Man, if I can just be like Kim, you know, now she wants to be a lawyer. I'm so glad that she wants to be an attorney. But why are we so enamored with someone whose fame was a sex tape and who sells you things that maybe you don't even need? I don't know. My daughters are into makeup, so I'm not against makeup. My point is, where is your heart? What is the thing that you are looking at? Now, for a lot of guys, it might be sports, right? It might be weight training. It might be that hobby or that thing that you're spending inordinate. I always have to watch, how much money am I spending in gear? Because even these instruments can be instruments of Satan, right? I mean, if this microphone is in the hands of someone who loves Satan, it can be used as an instrument to destroy, of destruction. But if properly used, these instruments, the guitars that I have, these microphones, these cameras, lights, it can be used for good, but I have to watch. Hey, am I lusting after technology? Am I lusting after music? Am I lusting after the musicians? Or am I longing for Jesus? You know, what I love about this season of life is that everything is becoming clear. Everything is becoming clear. I think that now that we are into the, 10th year of technology and Apple phones and the internet, and or 20 years, I guess, but now that things seem to be like at a high, high level, right? It's like things are peaking, right? When it comes to technology, I'm so thankful. The Bible says that you got to let the sin and the righteousness grow together. And guess what's going to happen in the end, in the end times, which I believe they're every day. It says that the righteousness of God is going to defeat the darkness. It's going to defeat the enemy. I'm convinced that in these days, we as a people of God need to become more about Jesus. We need to triple, quadruple down on our faith. This is not the time, my young friend, my adult, my man of God, my woman of God. This is not the time to go church light. To kind of like say, well, you know, maybe I guess I got that down. You know, I already got church down. I already know what I'm doing there. You know, I this is my little corner of the, you know, it's like church is like your 10%, right? And because we are so connected to technology these days, that becomes a 90%. Oh, I know you work. I know we all do our other things. But what is your work centered around? What is your workout time centered around? What is your sleep centered around? Or what is it being affected by? It's technology. I love technology. I'm here on 8 platforms all at once. Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, all the rest. Because I believe that this is the way, you know, where it says that every eye shall see, every eye will see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I wonder if, who was it? I think that was John in Revelation. I wonder if he was looking ahead at the internet. Ghost of Bella right there. I wonder if that's what he saw. You know, I also think that the times are telling us that something is not right. I mean, you think of what happened in Sri Lanka. You know, I can't get that out of my mind because it was an attack on the Church of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday, guys. On Easter Sunday. I mean, talk about a attack, a frontal attack on the people of God. This wasn't just just a terrorist thing. I mean, this was an attack on Easter Sunday, the most precious event in the history of Christianity. Three churches and four hotels, all in one day. Almost 400 people died, 75 of them children. Most of them followers of Jesus, Catholic people. Sri Lanka is about 80-90% Buddhist, about 80% Buddhist, about 10% Muslim, and about 7% Christian. And most of those 7% are Catholics, and about 1% of that is evangelical. I am thankful for the Catholic Church in times like these because they have a presence in those countries, in these mostly Buddhist countries, in these pagan countries. And now these two minority groups, the Muslim community, and again, I'm not what do you call it, generalizing. I shouldn't say the Muslim community. This terrorist cell, ISIS or whatever it's called now, of the Muslim faith, they attacked the Christian presence in Sri Lanka. Bombing people. Have you seen those images? It's like a church of like 1,000 people, all of them in pews, you know, like traditional church here in the States, with a priest doing his mass on Easter morning, guys. Easter morning. And the guy, have you seen the video with a backpack, walks in and blows himself up and everyone else in that room. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? In the end times, the church will be persecuted. The church will be persecuted. You know, persecution, I think, is, and you think, you may not feel this way, but you know, the U.S. is the, quote, Christian voice to the world. You may not even like church or God. You may be an atheist, whatever. But the reason why this country gets attacked so much is two reasons. The corruption and materialism of this country, and second, the Christian faith. There are people in this world that hate this country, and therefore you and me as Americans, I know I don't look very gringo, but you know, but we are in this country because of the materialism and corruption of our nation, of you and me, and because of our Christian roots. People hate that. I don't mean people. I shouldn't say people. I'm not talking about a certain religion that hates Christians. That's not what I mean to say. I'm talking about these terrorist cells. They're bombing people because of their faith. Easter Sunday, Sri Lanka. Why do I tell you all this? Because I think that these things are all warning signs. May God forbid that ever happens here. I mean, it's happened already, right, in smaller ways. Wasn't there a church in Charleston, South Carolina, that a young man came in and the same thing, he killed a bunch of people? That seemed to be a race kind of thing, right? That's our other sin here in our country, right, is the race thing. And all that the Trump administration, and I'm not even for or against any of these things, let me take that back. It seems like sometimes people get into racism because of a certain mentality that they think a leader may have. It may not even be true that an administration is for or against certain people, but those who are already leaning towards racism are going to take any excuse to go and hate their neighbor. What does the Bible say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This Sunday, I'm going to actually preach about, not immigration per se, but the passage that I'm teaching out of Acts 18. It has this very interesting verse there where it says that because Claudius threw out Aquila, Priscilla, and Aquilas, they threw, because the Roman government threw out these two people of God. They threw them out of the city. They came over to Corinth, which is a city in the Greek islands, in the Greek peninsula. And through that, God did a work in that city. Through Paul, who's the man of God, as you know, and these two immigrants who got kicked out from Rome. Talk about refugees, right? And so God used this Jewish man of God in Greece, the Gentile nation, not a religious place. I mean, very much into, you know, Plato and Socrates and knowledge and perfection. And use these two refugees from Rome to establish a Christian presence in Greece. And the church of Corinth blew up. And it says that even the leaders of the synagogues believed in Christ. Even some of the government leaders believed in Jesus. And many people became saved through these immigrants and refugees. Very interesting, huh? How we can see the same thing. Thank you so much, cousin. Thank you so much, Sam. Just reading some of the comments here. Thank you so much. It is important that we keep talking about positivity, how to be positive. I think we need to lift people up. I think we need to connect with God. I think we need to remember our roots. I think we need to remember what true life is. True life is found in your relationship with God. No matter the baggage, no matter the past, no matter what painful things, no matter the sin in my life, my goodness, if I made a list of all the things that I've done wrong, there would not be enough, like the hymn says, enough ink in the ocean to write it all down. It just would be too much. But thanks be to God for His grace and His love upon my life and upon yours. You want to be more positive? Center your whole existence around Jesus. Put your life in His hands. You already are doing that. Double, triple, quadruple down upon your faith in Christ. I don't mean to be dogmatic or a hater or hate everyone or be some fundamentalist person who wants to just wait for some spaceship from heaven to take us away from God. No. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and I being people of grace, of love, of power, of self-control, the roots of the Spirit. People who are filled with the presence of God, who are trusting in Jesus, saying, Lord, help me, God. Help me to be a man of God. Help me to love you more than life itself. Help me to be someone who puts you first above all things. Help me to know you, to trust you. Help me to double down upon knowing you, knowing that it is you who saved me. It is you who's the God who is coming. It is you who is the hope of this world. And you want purpose in your life? You know what the purpose is of your life? The purpose is to double down upon your faith, to spread the love of God, to tell people about Jesus, and to also walk away from evil. It's two things that it means to be a Christian. It means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. And then second is to walk away from evil. It's not one or the other. You have to have faith, and you have to have also, what would be another word? Faith and the strength to say no. Maybe we should call it faith and, I don't know, we have to shun is the word that my dad will always use with me. Let's call it faith and fear. I don't like the word fear because we're not supposed to be afraid. But I mean faith and also to say no to the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the longings of the flesh, the things that everyone around you tells you that it's okay. And if you don't know who God is, if you're like, you know, I've been around these things, but I need to know more about who Jesus is, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm sorry for where I've been these last 10, 20, 30 years. Lord, I'm sorry for not putting you first. I know better. I know my mom has been praying, and my friends and my parents and my grandma and I have this one preacher guy who's always here, all this stuff. Come to Jesus. You're afraid, you're not sure, you think church is dumb or judgmental or Republican. Same thing I think. I'm none of those things. I'm not a Republican, I'm not any of that. I'm not a white evangelical. But even if I was, it's not about that. It's about being a lover of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Why Jesus? Because he is a son of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Because when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's the one who erases your past. He erases your hard drive that's filled with shame and fear and depression and with anxiety and with all the mess of your mom and dad and parents and grandparents and your boyfriend and your efforts to try to be a good person. All of that shame that you carry. He takes it, and it says that as far as the east is from the west, he removes that shame from you, and he throws it at the bottom of the ocean, and he puts a big rock on it that says, no fishing, so that no one can ever get that stuff again. So thank you so much for your comments, everyone. Thank you for being here on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitch, YouTube, Periscope, Twitter, on Twitch, I said that already, and all the platforms. This is the way forward, and I'm here every day, 10 times a day, because I believe that this is the new way to get the message out, is through these tools, because this is where people are, and I want to get in there and be that voice that cries out in the desert, repent, the kingdom of God is near. God wants to change your life. God wants to restore what's been lost in you. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is all that's good in this life. That's what the kingdom of God means. Thanks so much for watching. Subscribe, like, comment, share this video with 10 of your friends. I need 5 people, 10 people, I just said, to share this video right now. Go ahead and do that. Thanks so much for watching. I will see you next time.